I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. My guest today is Carol Tobias, who's the president of the National Right to Life Committee. Carol, can you tell me a bit about yourself and your organization?
I'd be happy to. National Right to Life is the nation's oldest and largest pro-life organization working to stop abortion and euthanasia, or a more positive spin. We are trying to promote the value of human life and protect human life, innocent human life. I've been the president now for 4 years, but I am also a very proud member of the LCMS Sanctity of Life Committee.
Carol, we have seen in the news lately, or perhaps not seen as much as we might have, videos that were taken with officials of Planned Parenthood where they actually discussed the harvesting and sale of baby parts. What is this about?
Well, I don't think anyone who has really been involved in the abortion movement, you know, even those of us on the pro-life side, or anybody who's been following Planned Parenthood at all, would be surprised by this. They are the nation's largest abortion chain. They kill more than 300,000 babies every year, about a third of all the abortions that are performed in this country. And unfortunately, they get about $500 million of tax dollars through various government programs and grants. But, you know, they're in the business of killing unborn children. So for them to figure out what they're going to do with those, you know, bodies, the parts, the tissue, whatever it might be, you know, they have to dispose of it somehow. So this really shouldn't be a surprise for anyone who's been, it isn't a surprise for anyone who's been paying attention.
Well, that brings up some other questions, one of which was, what is governmental response to this? Now, I know that several Republicans in Congress have called for an investigation of Planned Parenthood with possibly the intent of removing their funding or even perhaps revoking their tax-exempt status. However, I also noticed that there are four congresswomen who have sent letters to Attorney General Lynch and California Attorney General Kamala Harris demanding that they investigate the group that took these photos, these videos. Are you aware of this?
I am. No surprise, because there are members in Congress who support abortion for any reason, for all 9 months of pregnancy. They want our tax dollars to pay for abortion, for all abortions. So the fact that they would decide they are going to defend Planned Parenthood and defend what Planned Parenthood is doing by trying to cast aspersions on the company that did, the people that did this videotaping, they're trying to throw reporters and the whole country off the real story of what Planned Parenthood is doing to these babies after they have been killed, in the process of killing them, and just throw the whole story back on the people who have done the videotape.
That's appalling to me. Normally, the Democrats tend to laud the whistleblower. In this case, they're doing just the opposite. And they're not calling to see whether or not there had been any illegalities on the part of Planned Parenthood. My understanding is that there are some very serious legal questions that have been raised.
Well, Planned Parenthood has gained this image in the country of being above reproach. They're all in this just, they're working just for the good of the country, and they're doing this all out of the goodness of their heart. So their supporters, especially these women in the people in Congress who are now asking for an investigation, are just taking them at their word. Hey, that's a fine, upstanding organization, and they should not be, investigated, or nothing should be done to them.
One argument I've heard from the other side on this is that there's a lot of good that Planned Parenthood does. For example, making birth control available for young women, conducting STDs, things along this line, preventing the test and giving the medical treatment over and above the abortion issue. The argument seems to be that the good that they're doing far outweighs the evil that they're doing. Is this the correct assumption?
Well, it is. That's what they want the country to think. Oh, they're doing so many good things. Let them get by with some of the things that we aren't, really too crazy about. Planned Parenthood likes to say that abortions are only 3% of their business. But if you look at, more details about what they do, a pregnant woman who goes into, for every let's say, every 10 women, pregnant women that go into their facilities to, you know, get some kind of pregnancy help, 9 of those babies are killed. So, you know, abortion is definitely their biggest issue, and that's where they make the money.
As you pointed out, they get something like $500 billion worth of grants, and plus they are a tax-exempt organization, so they don't pay any tax, and in fact, donations made to them are tax-deductible. The taxpayers, the American people, are subsidizing them.
We are. Their budget or income last year was about $1.3 billion, and almost half of that came from government sources.
One thing that has struck me is that the critics have been claiming that the two videotapes that have surfaced have been somehow selectively edited or misrepresented. In fact, even Presidential Press Secretary Josh Earnest says, in his words, the videos are raising considerable concerns about the way those videos were selectively edited, and yet the entire unedited videos are also available on the internet. There was no editing. I've seen them. There was no give and take on the editing. They may have been trimmed down for space, but there was no misrepresentation, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree with you. There was, you know, roughly an 8-minute video that was released out of, you know, a 2-3 hour full video. So, you know, the other side, the White House, some members of Congress, and certainly many in the media, are trying to portray this as a bad, you know, editing, just trying to take out the worst things and misrepresenting what the women on these videos had said. But the entire video is available. It's not like they're trying to hide anything. And I would point out that if you are watching a news show in the evening and they're interviewing people or they're doing a story and they'll have a clip from someone, I mean, you know, it's happened to me. A reporter will talk to me for 5, 10, 15 minutes, and what ends up on their news show will be maybe a 15-second clip. I mean, that's something that, you know, all those in media are doing. You know, they pick out the thing that they think is going to be most important or most interesting to their readers, their viewers. So this is actually something that even those in the media do frequently and constantly.
You're quite correct. Editing of raw tape is standard practice. There's nothing sinister about it to cut it down, unless, of course, for example, there was a case with NBC with the Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin instance where they edited it to make it appear that Martin had was shot solely because he was black.
That's a great example of where they did purposely edit something to get a different outcome, but this didn't happen. You can watch the short version, you can watch the long version, and you're going to have the same outcome, the same result.
Despite the claims that this is really a non-story, which I've been hearing, it's obviously it has stirred a lot of passion, and yet the major networks, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, PBS, the Spanish networks, have mostly ignored the story. Have you followed that as well?
They have, but the majority of those in the media are liberal and strongly pro-abortion, so it really should be no surprise that they are trying to cover up the story, ignore it, hope it goes away, defending Planned Parenthood. You know, there was a story in the Los Angeles Times. Now, it's been, I think, 25 years, but nothing has changed. And if I can, I'd like to read one paragraph from the article. It's front
page. Please do.
Los Angeles Times. It's not surprising that some abortion rights activists would see journalists as their natural allies. Most major newspapers support abortion rights on their editorial pages, and two major media studies have shown that 80 to 90% of U.S. journalists personally favor abortion rights. Moreover, some reporters participated in a big abortion rights march in Washington last year, and the American Newspaper Guild, the union that represents news and editorial employees at many major papers, has officially endorsed freedom of choice in abortion decisions. And there have been subsequent studies. You know, in 2007, the Pew Research Center said that journalists and news executives, the ratio was 4 liberals for every conservative. So the people that are creating the news and reporting the news have a definite bias, a definite bent, and they are going to do what they can to bury this story.
Well, we're seeing a different spin put on it by what mainstream media is covering it. For example, MSNBC had a guest, Dr. Ann Davis, Physicians for Reproductive Health, and she compared the harvesting of babies' organs to giving blood. This is appalling to me.
Well, it is, but I think she was trying to use an example that most people can identify with. You give blood, you know, you go in, you make the donation. Well, somebody has to take care of that blood after you have donated it. But to compare it to the abortion process really does not fit, because this is someone who has come into the Planned Parenthood facility for the sole purpose of killing their unborn child. They didn't walk in to donate the tissue or the organs or the, you know, they came to kill that baby, and they are paying to do it. Planned Parenthood is getting anywhere from $450 to $2,000 for these abortions, depending on the age of the baby. So this really doesn't quite fit that same comparison.
I keep thinking, you know, I'm listed as an organ donor, for example. When I'm dead, they can do what they want with my body. And I've also been a blood donor, and I donate blood. However, the analogy that this Dr. Davis seems to put up would be like, well, I'm going to force somebody else to give blood, and they're going to give all their blood until they die.
That's exactly what's happening. The baby is dying.
And we're seeing other pundits referring to this as a right-wing conspiracy or a non-story or, gee, why is this even a story? Again, this is part of the movement, I think, to try to downplay just how serious this issue is. I think that we are finally getting a reaction by some members of Congress, and I think for the first time, it looks like Planned Parenthood may actually be running a little scared. There may be consequences finally to the incredibly callous attitude of their doctors and their managers. Is this perhaps a turning point? Do we see maybe a little light on the horizon here?
I think they are worried. The chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee sent a letter to Planned Parenthood. They wanted to talk to Dr. Nukatola, the woman that was in the first video, and they wanted, you know, they asked some questions. Well, of course, it was an attorney from Planned Parenthood that responded, and they tried to, you know, cast aspersions on the videotape itself and on the people who did it. But there was one sentence in the letter back to Chairman Upton that I thought was very interesting. It said, "We don't know what the center, that's the group making the videos, will release next, but we know enough to be deeply concerned about the infiltration of Planned Parenthood and its affiliates." Now, for them, they're trying to say, look, what they did was unethical, illegal, whatever. But they know that there is more coming out. They're concerned about what is going to be shown. And I think Planned Parenthood is on their own. Now, you know, they're big. They'll be able to fight back. But it's encouraging.
As you mentioned, there is some speculation that the Center for Medical Progress, the group that actually did the videotaping, does indeed have more videotapes. Have you heard anything about that over and above that that article that you just quoted, that there will be more tapes that will be exposed?
Well, I've heard that there are more tapes, and actually CBS did do a story on the second video, and they actually had a medical ethicist from New York University who said that, you know, if they're in the business of doing the abortions, they really should not have this side business of, you know, working with the tissue, that he would recommend they not do it. But at the end of their report, they said that there's possibly 10 more videos to come out.
And who knows what would be on them. Mm-hmm. One of the things that has just horrified me when I have seen both of these videos, over and above the content, was the utter nonchalance with which the two doctors spoke. It was almost emotionless.
That's a good term for it. In the first video, the woman was just, you know, kind of flippant. The second one, I thought she was kind of arrogant, just sitting there, you know, talking about how much money they could get for this tissue. I have a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot more and different people, different, you know, facilities and officials that We're gonna get more.
And then hear an official talk about how, well, this will be the less crunchy place to put the forceps. The less crunchy place?
Yeah, because they want to make sure that they're not damaging the liver, the heart, the brain, the lungs.
Well, that's another question. They claim, the pro-abortion side claims that, well, we're talking about a mass of tissue here, but a mass of tissue with developed organs? I've never heard of that.
Well, it's interesting. I actually have a copy of the form that one of the Planned Parenthood affiliates in California uses when women come in and they ask if they're willing to donate, what they call tissue. But the form is actually client information for informed consent, donation of blood and or aborted pregnancy tissue for medical research, education, or treatment. It doesn't say, the organs from your aborted baby. It's aborted pregnancy tissue, which, again, sounds kind of like mass of cells. But the first paragraph says, research using the blood from pregnant women and tissue that has been aborted has been used to treat and find a cure for such diseases as diabetes, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, cancer, and AIDS. Well, one, they're talking tissue, not the organs that are in these videos, so the women are not being told what's happening and even how far along their baby is and what parts of that baby body are going to be used. And you certainly have not seen cures for diabetes, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, cancer, or AIDS from this research. So it's very misleading for the women who are coming into the facility.
At what point in the pregnancy is the baby developed enough where these organs are distinct?
You're probably looking 14, 16 weeks. Each organ develops at a different rate, different stage of pregnancy. But in the video, they're talking, babies at 16 to 18 weeks, and they 20, and then they even get into, I think, 22 weeks. So they are looking at the older babies.
In fact, they'd almost prefer that for the purpose of organ harvesting.
Yes.
People who are aware of your organization, or better yet, are not aware of the organization and what you do, how can they get in touch with you and how can they learn more about this?
The website is probably the best way to find out information. It's nrlc.org. And we have a daily news feed that can be emailed if you sign up for it. We're covering this as much, I think, as anyone. But we'd love to have anybody go to our website and just get the information. We do our absolute best to make sure that what is on there is factual and accurate and up to date.
And over and above that, what can the average citizen do? Can we write letters to the editor? Can we contact our representatives and senators and say this has to stop?
Yes. Letters to the editor, letters to your member of Congress and your senators. If you're into social media with Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, certainly use that. Get the message out. That's one way that we can break through the media bias. It's not just that people are getting their news from the evening nightly news or even going to those sites on the websites or on the internet. We've got everybody. Each of us can have our own way of reaching out to friends and others to just let the story be told, and we can bypass these reporters who are not putting the story out.
And of course, studies show that people are increasingly are mistrusting the mainstream media and watching it less and reading it less and are turning more to social media to get their information.
Yes, they really are. Social media is making a big difference, and it's hurting the mainstream media, which hopefully will wake them up that we're not happy with what they're doing all the time.
So what would be the ultimate goal? Would it be outlawing abortion, or would it simply be getting rid of the tax exempt status and the federal subsidies for Planned Parenthood? What is the ultimate goal of the National Right to Life Committee?
Our ultimate goal is to protect every unborn child. If we get rid of Planned Parenthood, that's about I don't think they're going to be going away, but maybe we can take away their tax contributions. But they do about one third of all abortions in the country. We get rid of them and we still have more than 500,000 abortions every year. So So just getting rid of Planned Parenthood isn't the end game. But hopefully this is waking up people to what's really happening behind those closed doors.
And it's, what, 3,000 abortions a day being performed in this country, I believe?
Mm-hmm. It's horrendous. Each abortion is a living human being, an innocent, unborn child that can't defend himself or herself, a child who has no voice, which is why we need to be their voices.
Now, I think people, even in the pro-life movement, will often understand that sometimes abortion is necessary, save the life of a mother, for example. Mm-hmm. How many of the abortions that are committed in this country, say 3,000 a day is the figure, how many of these are voluntary, simply for convenience sake, as opposed to medical necessary?
Well over 90%. If you would take in, and we don't believe that abortion should be allowed if the mother is a victim of rape or incest, but if you take in those abortions where someone says she has been a victim of one of those crimes, if there are severe health complications to the mother or the baby, if the mother's life is in danger, which really is pretty rare, I guess maybe there you're talking more the ectopic pregnancy, all of those abortions account for less than 10%. Maybe it's more like 7 or 8% of all abortions performed.
So what we're seeing is abortion being used essentially as a birth control method.
It is. It is. I recently heard a story about a woman who would just go in and get an abortion every 3 or 4 months just to make sure that she wasn't pregnant. So, I mean, that's probably on the radical end of this. But there are certainly women who are, they don't bother to do anything else to prevent the pregnancy, and this is their way of just getting rid of the problem.
As I say, the choice is made before conception.
Yes, it is.
Ms. Tobias, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to discuss this very important issue with us here on World Lutheran News Digest.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
We look forward to hearing from you more in the future.